Psalm 135. We've been looking at our Lord's attributes. 17 of his character traits. His precious character traits. Who he is. Who he is and why he does what he does. And things that God himself has revealed in his own word. And a man named Arthur Pink wrote them down. The Lord revealed them to that man, and he wrote them down, and we've been looking at them. And I want to combine two of them this morning. I want to combine the supremacy of God, supreme, and the sovereignty of God. We're going to look at two of his attributes together. The reason I want to combine them is because the definition of the word supreme is sovereign. And the definition of the word sovereign is supreme. So you can't really look at one without looking at the other one. I do want to say that the definition of the word Lord is sovereign. Supreme. Okay, that's the definition of the word Lord. Ruler, owner, creator. That's what Lord means. But to understand these two character traits, our Lord, we could say it this way to separate what is together. Our Lord is supreme. He is highest. He is greatest. In everything that he is supreme. Everything that he is. Our Lord is sovereign in everything that he does. What this means is God is God. That's what this means. God is God. That's the title of this Bible study. That's what I want to get across. That's what I want us to leave here understanding. God is God. Now look with me at Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. You know what that verse of Scripture means? God is God. That's what it means. God is God. Daniel 4:35 says, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? Nobody, nothing can stop what he is doing. None can stay his hand. Nobody can even say to him, nobody even has the ability to say to him, What are you doing? Nobody. You know what that means? You know what Daniel means when he writes that? God is God. This world would be so blessed to come to that understanding. God is God. He's God. Now let me show you a few more scriptures that tell us this. Look with me at 1 Chronicles 29. Back towards Genesis is 1 Chronicles 29. It's after Kings. First Chronicles 29, verse 10. (Clears throat) Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. That's supremacy. He is head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. David said, You're God. That's what he was saying. You are God. We acknowledge that you are God. You know, people ask me all the time, you have conversations, and they want to know, what do we preach here? What do we believe here? And I want to tell them this much stuff in this amount of space. And I struggle to, in two sentences, tell what we believe. And it would be simple to say we believe God's Word. But everybody says, oh, yeah, I believe God's Word. But the one thing I want to get across to people when I have that opportunity is we believe God is God. We believe God is God. We believe the God is our God. The sovereign God is our God. Now, what does that mean for us? We believe that. What does that mean for us? To have the sovereign God be our God, what does that mean for us? I want to show you what sovereignty looks like. We say that He is sovereign. All right? Let me show you what sovereignty looks like. Go with me to the next book, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. Now this is what sovereignty looks like. Okay, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 says, It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides, the Ammonites, they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. All right, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And these three nations together were going to come against Israel in battle. Verse 2, Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. What a wise man. He was afraid and he immediately set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is not their power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, he said, I'm going to give you this land, and you're going to drive these nations out. You're going to go to war with these nations and you're going to kill these nations. Verse 8, And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt help, thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Those three nations, God said, don't destroy them. Those three individual nations. Go this way. That's what Israel did. Verse 11. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We didn't destroy each of them, and so now they have all banded together, and they're coming against us. And this is a great company that we cannot go against. Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I adore that. There they stand, the whole family, all of Judah with their wives, their children. They're all standing there saying, God, you are God. You're our God. And you said we could come to you for help. And we are about to die. We're in a state of absolute desolation. Please help us. We can't do anything. We're helpless. All we can do is stand still and wait. Lord, please be with us. Please help us. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The Spirit descended down on this man, and he stood up in the midst of the congregation. Verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. First of all, that's what it means to have a sovereign God. It's not yours, it's God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. That's excellent news. It's called the gospel. You don't have to do anything. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Now, every time I read this to you, I have to point this out. I adore this. God said, this is what God said, the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. You will not have to fight in this battle. You just go meet them. So Jehoshaphat said, I want all the singers and all the musicians on the front line. I want all the trumpets in front of the bows and arrows and the swords. You're going in first. All right, so verse 21, he consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. You talk about a turn of events. Verse 26, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, and that means blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah in Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. That's God. That's God. That is not the God that people preach today. That's God. That right there is a God to love. Don't you love that God? That is a ruling God. That is a reigning God. Nothing is more comforting to weak, trembling sinners than the sovereignty of their God. Nothing. I mean nothing. Now, I want to show you a short. Let me show you another example, a very short one. Go to Exodus 34. This right here is comforting. Exodus 34, verse 23 says, thrice in the year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. 3 times a year, all of the males of Israel were required by God to leave their homes and go up to Jerusalem and worship. All right? All the males. Now, we just saw that they lived in a hostile environment. Okay, the Lord did. They took land from other nations. And those other nations wanted that land back. They wanted to get their land back. And God said, 3 times a year, all the males have to leave the land. All right, now tell me this. What's going to stop all the other nations while all the men leave? What's going to stop all the other nations from coming back and taking their land back? Taking all the farms back, killing all the women and children, taking all the cattle, seizing it all. What's going to stop them? Verse 23, thrice in the year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. He said, I'm not going to allow them to desire it. Not only are they not allowed to come take it, I'm not going to allow them to want it. They're just going to sit there. You're going to go worship me 3 times a year. I want all the men to leave. You leave your women behind. You leave your children behind. You leave your stuff behind. You go worship God, and they're not even going to be allowed to want to come take it. That's a sovereign God. That right there is a sovereign God. That's supremacy. That's sovereignty. And that is our God. That's our God. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Is that not comforting? In every detail of our life, he is in complete control of it. Every detail. He not only controls us, he controls everything around us. He not only controls our hearts, he controls the hearts of our enemies. That's comforting to me. He controls the hearts of our enemies. Nothing can hinder, nothing can stand in the way of his providence concerning us. Nothing. It has always been that way. It is that way. It's always going to be that way. Always. Job said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought of thine can be hindered. No thought. You can do everything, and nothing can be hindered. Now, go with me back over to Psalm 135. I'm going to have to move on. Psalm 135. Verse 6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Now you think about this. He said all the firstborn are going to die in one night. In every single house, every firstborn of man and beast is going to die in one night. That night came, they all died. They all died. Men, some tragedy happens. You know, I told you my story about the hurricane and Katrina, and that woman told me God didn't want this to happen. I kill. I make alive. Right? He said it. It was done. All the firstborn of man and beast are going to die. It was done. It was done. Verse 9, he said, who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon his servants? Pharaoh and his servants, they finally got the final token. God told his people, I'm going to deliver you out of their hands. I'm going to deliver you out of Pharaoh's hands. He said it, right? So here they go, and Pharaoh starts chasing them, and he pins them up against the Red Sea, and they're so afraid, and what are they going to do? God told Moses, you hold up that rod. Lift up the rod, if the rod be lifted up. That rod is Christ, who was lifted up for the destruction of his people. And Moses lifted up that rod, and as soon as he did, whoom, that water was a wall unto them. And I love how it says that. It didn't just back up and make way for them. It was a wall. And I forget now how deep it's estimated it was, but it was huge. And they walked across on dry land. As soon as his people were out, and all of Pharaoh and his people were in, God closed it up on them. Boom. And they were delivered. It was done. He said it. It was done. That's how a sovereign God works. It's said and it's done. Our God is not trying to do anything. Our God is not begging us to let him do anything. I mean nothing. He does whatever he pleases. We would be so wise to get a hold of that. This world would be so wise to get a hold of that. God is God, and he does whatever he pleases. I mean whatever he pleases. All right, now, I want to very quickly, I'm going to close here. I want to give us three things to remember about our sovereign God. I'm going to be very quick. The first one's a warning. The second one is a word of wisdom. And the third one is a word of comfort. Okay, here's the first one. Look quickly at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 9 says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. And shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what are you doing? What makest thou? Thy work, he hath no hands. Let men argue with men all they want to." Men love to argue doctrine. They love to argue religion. They love to argue God. But don't strive with the Maker. Whatever he says, that's what it is. We all have certain things we believe. And then we find something in the Scripture that contradicts what we believe. You know what we must do? Change our belief. Oh, dear God, keep us from striving with our Maker. His word. The Apostle Paul said, "Who art thou that repliest against God?" I know it says it. I still don't believe it. The potter has power over the clay. Once we see this sovereign God's hand in something, we need to bow to it. We just need to bow to it. People get angry with God, don't they? They get angry with God. Something happened, and I'm so mad at God. Don't do that. Man, he can break a vessel just as fast as he makes it. So here's our word of warning. Let's bow to the sovereign God. Let's all bow. Here's the second thing. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Knowing that our sovereign God controls it all. Knowing that he is absolutely controlling every step, every breath, everything. We would be wise to always keep that in our vocabulary. Not just with lip service, I mean in the heart. Right here in the heart. May God always give us a heart that remembers you are in control. You are in control. Everything I plan to do is dependent on what you allow me to do. If you're willing, I'll do it. If you're not willing, don't let me do it. I'm not going to do it, and don't let me do it, Lord. I bow to your word. If the Lord wills, if this sovereign God wills, if he allows it, to be so. Here's the third thing. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Not the Jesus they made up in their mind. The actual God as he has recorded himself to be in his own word. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Every single thing. This is our word of comfort. Every single thing that this sovereign God does is for the good of his people. Every single thing. The Lord took our brother last Thursday morning. He is currently the only interpreter that we have for Mexico right now. So as of this moment, none of the pastors can go down and preach to the brethren in Mexico. None of the pastors from America can go down and preach to the brethren in Mexico because there's no interpreter. So what does this mean? I tell you what it means. Good. That's what it means. Good. It's good for them. It's good for us. It's good for the gospel. It's good for his sheep. It's good. It's all good. This sovereign God is good, and everything that he does is good. This flesh never understands it. Rarely, when something happens, do we understand it. Rarely. But this is what we can rest assured in. It's good. It is so good. Thank God he is God. And what I mean by that is, thank God, God is the one who's God. Thank God. He said, I'm God. Rest. Because everything he does is good. And everything he says is going to be done. So let's rest in it. Okay, you're dismissed.